Happy Thanksgiving, church. It's too quiet for my liking. Happy Thanksgiving. Come on, shout. Go ahead. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Carl and Pastor Cheryl, for this amazing privilege. I don't take it for granted at all. I'm very positive that you will be blessed today. Amen. Just before I go into what we'll be looking at today, I just wanted to add a bit of layer to what we've been saying all through this morning. First, the worship team has been singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, and then Pastor Carl came and added to that. And if you're very sensitive, you will know that indeed there is something specific that God is trying to do in our lives today and moving forward. Amen. Now, God is saying that Jesus is not just a waymaker. Guess what? He's actually the way. John 14 and verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he doesn't just make a way for you. He is the way. So when you are joined with him, you have a way already. You're carrying the way with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so many of us know about the power of God, the awesome power of God. We are not in doubt about the abilities of God. But I perceive that many people are in doubt about God's willingness to bring his power to bear in our lives and our affairs. And he's asked me to tell you that he's not just able, but he's willing. So put ability and willingness together, and it births possibilities in your life. Hallelujah. I thought you would give God a shout for that. So the abilities and the willingness of God will birth possibilities in your life. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray for a minute. Just hold someone beside you and just say a prayer. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, please do. Go ahead. Hold someone beside you and let's pray for a minute. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, matchless King. Thank you, faithful Father. You are God all by yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for the awesome things you're doing in our midst. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We're grateful. Thank you for your word that we'll be looking at this morning. Thank you because your breath is upon it. Thank you because it is bringing life. It is bringing liberation. It is bringing illumination. Oh, it is bringing deliverance to your people. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' matchless name, we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. I like support like Pastor Carl, so feel free. Thank you. Thank you, Jed. All right. So we'll be looking at the unstoppable gospel this morning. The unstoppable gospel. Amen. The unstoppable gospel. And yes, the gospel is unstoppable. Now, we've been looking at the book of Acts, and Pastor Carl has gone through chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and he started chapter 5 last week, and I'll be taking up from there, from verse 12 to somewhere around 44, and I hope I have the time to do so. Praise God. Pray for me. All right. Can I have water, please? Thanks, George. My lips get dry pretty quickly when I'm speaking. Anybody like me? Yeah. All right, so we'll be looking at the unstoppable gospel. But you also know that Pastor Carl has again and again told us how that there ought to be an intersection between heaven and earth. Amen. He has said how that it is not God's will that the earth should look any different from heaven. And so there ought to be an intersection. And so it is God's desire that whatever it is that we picture in the heavens, the same reality is transferred on the earth. And so I'll speak very briefly about the kingdom and then we'll make progress. Scripture says, "Thy kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven." It means every possibility that we know of in heaven, it is God's desire that the same is transferred to the earth. If you don't know the possibilities in heaven, you can go to Revelation. It tells us that there will be no sickness, there will be joy, there will be celebration in heaven. It means that if you see anything that looks different from that, you have the mandate to transfer the realities of heaven to the earth. Amen? And herein lies the concept of colonization. I'm happy we're in Canada. Canada was a former colony of Britain, right? And with colonization, you find out that the realities of one kingdom are transferred to another. And so we're in London, Ontario today, but we know that there is a real London, right? No shades, London, no shades. Actually, one of my older brothers has always thought I was in the UK when I told him I was in London. And every time we speak, he'll be like, "How is the UK?" And I remind him, "No, I'm in London, Ontario, Canada." So London was named because we had British colonial masters who named this place after the London in the UK. We have the Thames River, correct? It is the same thing. It was named after the one that is in the UK. Our constitution is founded based on the principles of the same that you find in the UK. In fact, King Charles only recently read a speech during the recent opening of the parliament from the throne here in Canada, correct? And we have Mary Simon, the Governor General of Canada. She is like a representative of the king here. And I'd like you to picture yourself in the same format. We have a king, and we have other kings. You and I are those smaller kings that God has delegated from the heavens to rule in the earth. Very much in the same way Mary Simon administers in Canada, he is also calling you to administer the same on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. So cities like Victoria and British Columbia, Cambridge, Bristol, all of these were names of cities in the UK. Okay? So you find out the realities that are in the UK have been transferred to Canada. You might not like what I'm saying, but it's the reality, correct? It is for the same reason that you find a Nigerian man wearing a suit in a tropical climate like Nigeria, because the British colonized Nigeria. They have a cold climate in Britain, and so they wear a suit for warmth. And even though it's hot in Nigeria, we also wear a suit because the British said it is so. Exactly. That is the reality of colonization. And I'd like you to have this in mind when you operate on the earth. You're not operating like some midget who is trying to get out of this place. You're operating as a king that has been delegated by the king. I'll say that again. You're operating as a king that has been delegated by the king. Amen. Who is excited about that? So colonization is a system of transferring the realities of one kingdom to another kingdom. And our mandate is to transfer the realities of heaven to the earth. Our mandate, I say again, is to transfer the realities that are in heaven to the earth. If it were not possible, God wouldn't have asked you to do the same. And so he has empowered you and I to do that. But just how do we go about doing this? Many times we're going to ask, how do we go about doing this? There is a powerful tool that we have been given to bring about colonization on the earth. It is called the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is the tool that God has given to us to transfer the realities of the heavens to the earth. Amen. The gospel represents the wisdom of God to save men. It represents the wisdom of God to redeem souls. It represents the wisdom of God to transform societies. Amen? That is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God, through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, has offered forgiveness of sins to you and I and eternal life to all who, just one condition, believe in him. Nothing else. Nothing else. That is the gospel. It is good news. And that good news is that God, through Jesus, has brought forgiveness of sins to me. He has brought forgiveness of sins to you, to the end that you may have life and life eternal on the strength of my believing, not on the strength of my performance. Amen. That is the tool that we have. And I'm hoping that at the end of tonight's message, you're able to see how powerful that tool is in your hands. Praise God. Tim Keller said, the gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. Say that to your neighbor. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. Say it like you believe it. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. Amen. Do you believe that? If you believe it, you will shout better. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. Glory to God. Amen. The gospel is good news. Every time good news is brought to you, the response is shouting. The response is joy. So if anybody preaches something to you and it's causing you to be sad, depressed, then it is not the good news. It is not the gospel. It is something else. And Paul said, if any other person should bring another gospel to you, let him be what? Accursed. That's what my Bible says. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. So very quickly, let's look at Acts chapter 5. I'll just read very quickly and then we'll go from there. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, amen, and were added to their number. I'm believing that more and more people will believe even today and will be added to our number. Hallelujah. More and more people believed and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed. That's what you're carrying, friends. It's not just Peter. You're also carrying the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. My Bible tells me that it is resident on my inside. And if that power is resident on my inside, guess what? It's going to quicken me to do the same things. And scripture says even more than Jesus did. If you've not done more than Jesus did, don't be satisfied. Keep pressing for more. Because guess what? There is more that is found in Jesus. Hallelujah. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. All of them were healed. All of them were healed. All bar none. All bar none were healed. Hallelujah. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Every time the gospel expands, there is persecution that it attracts. Just like in our day. And it's not far away from Canada. I've been reading about certain churches that have been attacked. Anybody seen something like that here in Canada? I read there was an attack in a church in Montreal just about a week ago. And certain churches being set on fire here in Canada, not in Africa, not in Southeast Asia, here. So it's not so far away from us anymore. But guess what? The gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. I'll go ahead. It says, then the high priest and all his associates who were party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And then he gave an instruction. Verse 20 is very powerful. It says, go stand in the temples, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. This new life. It's specific. He was referring to the gospel. Go tell the people in the temple courts all about the gospel, that Jesus has died, that he has resurrected, and that if I put my faith and my belief in that which he has done, then I too will live. That I will be translated from death to life just on the strength on believing in that which Jesus has done. Go tell them all about this new life. And at daybreak, they entered temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. We found no one inside. That excites me. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. Amazing. I thought these guys were going to rush off for safety and hide somewhere. But no, guess what? They were in the city square. It's like you were arrested in commissioners and then you went to downtown to begin to preach. You set up a stage in the Budweiser Garden or Canada Life place. You went and set up a stage there and began to declare that Jesus is Lord. That is the boldness I'm hoping will be bettered in our hearts when we're done with tonight's message. Because we have a powerful tool that cannot be stopped. Amen. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than human beings. I'll give you a quick story of myself. Somewhere around 2009, I was in a pre-college program somewhere in northern Nigeria. And northern Nigeria, for those of you who know, is predominantly Muslim. And southern Nigeria is predominantly Christian. And there were all sorts of discrimination towards Christians. We're not allowed to pray. We didn't have a church. Whereas every turn, you find a mosque. They didn't just have a mosque, but they prayed in our rooms, they prayed in the car parks, everywhere they found. And I and a couple of friends of mine said, hey, we must pray. And we came together, and every night we went to an open field and began to pray. We began to declare the power and the presence of God in that land, in that campus, in that city. And there was a night where we were warned not to pray anymore. And so that night's meeting was scattered, really. But we told ourselves, exactly, I'm telling you that I remembered this scripture that night. And I said to my friends, judge for yourselves whether it is better for us to obey God or to obey men. And the next night, we're on the same spot praying again. And this time, they came with security personnel, with all sorts of weapons. They came and arrested us. I'm talking about myself, not a story I heard. And we're taken to the security outfit, the room, and all of that. And guess what? I reminded my friends of this story, and all of us were laughing while being in the cell. And we're really excited that we had the privilege to be arrested for a cause like this. I'm trusting God that that boldness is being bettered in someone's heart here tonight. And we said, no, we're going to pray. And I'm going to tell you the effects. Many years after that, I found out that there is a church that has now been erected in that school, and that believers are now allowed to pray and worship on that campus. You know why? The gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. Praise God. God exalted him on his own. So Peter and other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Then God, the God of our apostles, or of our ancestors, raised Jesus from the dead. Peter is really crazy. He was arrested and questioned for a particular crime. And in that same breath, he was preaching to the same people. That's exactly what he was doing here. It says, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. He says, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the council and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. He addressed the council, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop this man. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in, had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Hallelujah. Verse 41, the apostles left the council rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of the Lord. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming what? The good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah. We see God's power so mightily on display in this scripture. The apostles, they healed the sick. They delivered those who were oppressed of the enemy. But we also see that God's word cannot be chained. It cannot be restricted. And if it is indeed from God and not men, then you cannot stop it. Hallelujah. The gospel embodies the nature of God, and it brings the nature into the hearts of men. So the gospel that we preach, it embodies the very nature of God. And that nature is that which has been infused into you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 3 to 5, we know the story of Paul on his way to persecute believers. And Jesus will arrest him. A bright light will fall from heaven and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." He says, "Guess what? It is difficult for you to kick against the pricks. You're just hurting yourself trying to come for me." The gospel cannot be stopped. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12, the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. The Bible says that, but the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. In the last decade, about 150 million Christians have been added to our number. I'm not sure you are aware of that. So many people are saying, "Oh, Christianity is dying." It's a lie. It is a lie. I strongly believe there will be far more people in heaven than in hell. I strongly believe so, because the gospel cannot be stopped. Matthew 16 and verse 18, it says, "The gates of hell cannot, try as hard as they can, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the march of the church." The church is you and I. The church is you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, look at a few reasons very quickly before I round off. Why the gospel cannot be stopped. Number one, the gospel is full of grace. The gospel is gracious. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, very beautiful scripture. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." It is by works. Is that what it says? It is by, I'd like you to echo with me, it is by grace. It is by grace. I didn't see "and." It just says, "It is by grace." It is by grace. You should be excited. It is by grace that you and I have been saved through my faith in Jesus. Then, as though you were not, you couldn't understand what it says. It goes ahead to elaborate and it says, "It is not of yourselves," just in case you were in doubt. It says, "It is by grace." Then it goes ahead to elaborate. It says, "It is not of yourselves." Then it adds again, it says, "It is the gift of God." It is not a reward. It is not something you earn. It is a gift. When you pay for something, it stops being a gift. It becomes a commodity that you go to Costco or Freshco to buy. But guess what? This was a gift. It was a gift. Just take it. The greatest reason why you qualify for the gospel is to be undeserving. That is the biggest qualification for the gospel, that you are undeserving. Because grace is unmerited favor. So if you feel like you don't merit it, guess what? That is your biggest qualification. You're welcome. You're welcome because you qualify for it. Just because it is unmerited. The gospel of Jesus is gracious, and so people find it difficult to resist that message. The moment we add something to it, then we subtract from it. It's a paradox. Most things become better when you add to them. When you add ketchup to fries, it tastes nicer, correct? But when you add works to grace, you take from it. I say that again. When you add works to grace, you take from it. You take from the purity of the message of the gospel when you add traditions of men, when you add requirements, when you add works. It is the grace of God and the grace of God only. Is anyone on LinkedIn here? Anybody on LinkedIn? Guess what? I believe God had LinkedIn in mind when he set up the grace of God, because he knew that some of you will say, "Hey, I'm happy to share that I now qualify to become a member of the body of Christ. On the strength of my piety and on the strength of my good works, I have now entered into the body of Jesus on the strength of these things that I have done. So many times when we achieve things, we go there and list all of the things we have done. But guess what? Nobody can do that on LinkedIn. Guess why? It is a gift. It is a gift. I did not work for it. I just received it. It is a gift, and I'm excited. Hallelujah. Anybody excited about the grace of God? The gospel frees us from striving, and it invites us to rest in the finished works of Jesus. It is finished, finished, finished. Nothing left. Nothing is missing, and nothing is broken. It is finished. There's nothing you and I can add to it. It is finished. Hallelujah. Number two, the gospel reveals God's love. John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, that same condition, believes and acts." Is that what it says? Believes. "That person shall not perish, but the same shall have eternal life." Amen. The gospel is bettered by the love of God. The love of God is not a response. It is your love that is a response. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. But guess what? God loves because he is love. No, you didn't hear that. You love because God first loved you. But God loves you because he is love. Amen. The gospel is love. Hallelujah. It is on account of the love of God for you and I that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for the sins of the world. Everybody listening to me, every single person. Love was the motivation of God's redemptive work. It was love. It was love. It was love all along from start to finish. Pastor Carl will say, "You have never lived an unloved moment." How true. How true. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. No, the moment we made up our mind to become better people. No. While we were yet sinners, while I was lost in my sin, God made a decision. I will come for him. I will come for him. And if you were alone in the world, God will still send Jesus for you. That is how much you mean to him. That is how much you mean to him. Oh, how can you resist a gospel that is founded on love? It's really difficult. No, it's impossible. And that is why the gospel is unstoppable. The love of God. Hallelujah. God's love was and is not because of our righteousness. It is in spite of our sins. God's love is not because of our righteousness. It is in spite of our sins. Hallelujah. The story of the prodigal son, the Bible says that he stood outside and looked from a distance. He ran to him. He didn't wait for him. He ran to him. And when the son was trying to give excuses, "No, I'll rather serve as a maid or a servant in your house," he said, "Hey, leave that. I've planned a banquet already for you." Love. And it was initial, not a response. God's love is initial. Our love might be a response, but that Jesus has shown us is initial. Amen. I'm excited about the next point. The gospel is the wisdom of God. The gospel is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who," that same word, believe. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, his intent was that now through the church, through you and I, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and verse 8. "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They thought they were ending it. They thought they were nailing the final, they were hitting the final nail on the coffin. They did not know that out of death will proceed life. It is the wisdom of God. The enemy had been trying to understand the plan of God from time immemorial. I'll take you on a trip quickly. Think about the story of Moses. The story of Moses was like a foreshadowing of that which was going to happen with Jesus. Moses was born during a time of great persecution. And the Bible tells us that Pharaoh had put forth a decree that every male child born to the Hebrew women should be killed. And guess what? The same palace from which that decree was made was the same palace that raised Moses. How possible is that? The wisdom of God. God can, he can bring deliverance from the same place where you're suffering persecution. And I'm speaking to someone in your office, in your business. There's someone who has been opposing you. He's able to use that same person to bring about your deliverance. It's called the wisdom of God. It's called the wisdom of God. They cannot gainsay it. They cannot understand it. They cannot understand it. How would you have thought that death will bring life? But that's exactly what happened. The moment I said I believed, I jumped from death and I moved to life. Courtesy of the wisdom of God. Only God's wisdom could satisfy both his justice and his mercy. Justice represents God's desire to punish sin. Mercy represents the expression of his love. In the cross, he met both requirements and set you free. Hallelujah. Through the cross, the sin was punished, but through the cross, men were forgiven. I'll say that again. Through the cross, my sin was punished, but through the cross, I was also set free. Hallelujah. And so he didn't have to sacrifice his justice or his mercy. He fulfilled both in the mystery and the wisdom of the cross. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon said, "The cross is the greatest exhibition of divine wisdom the world has ever seen. God's wisdom revealed through the gospel can get to the most complex of unbelievers." The gospel is light. The gospel is light. We sang part of it during worship this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "The eyes of those who do not believe are made blind by Satan, who is the god of this world. He does not want the light of the good news to shine in the hearts. This good news shines as the shining greatness of Christ. Christ is as God is." Verse 6 says, "The light will shine in darkness. He's the one who made his light shine in our hearts." This brings us the light of knowing God's shining greatness, which is seen in God's face. Hallelujah. You don't see only because you have eyes. You see because there is light. If we turn off the lights here, you're not going to see your neighbor. But you're going to say, "But I have eyes." The greatest reason why you see is because there is light. In medicine, we define blindness as no light perception. No perception of light is the definition of blindness. And so for every unbeliever, their eyes have been blinded from beholding the glorious gospel of Jesus. But guess what? When the gospel is preached, that light is released. The Bible says the entrance of your word, it giveth light and it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of God's word, the preaching of the gospel, it brings light and it brings understanding to the simple. I'm excited. Hallelujah. You don't only see because you have eyes. I've said that. The gospel illuminates darkened hearts and it opens blinded eyes. Amen. Psalm 32 and verse 9, it says, "For with you is the fountain of light, and in your light we see light." It is in the illumination that comes from the gospel of Jesus that we ourselves are able to behold him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, the gospel is power. The gospel is power. The gospel is power. Romans 1 and verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It did not say it has the power. No, it says it is the power. Inherent in the word of God is his nature, which embodies power. And so it means every time the word is preached, the power of God is also present to save, to heal, to deliver, to transform. Hallelujah. Many times, as Jesus will teach in the synagogue, the Bible will say, and the power of God was present to heal. Guess what? The power of God is present to heal today. I keep hearing bone on bone, bone on bone. That's what I'm hearing. And it's going to heal someone with a bone issue, fractures. The power of God is present to heal. We will get testimonies on this stage because the power of God is present. As we speak, as we declare the gospel, his power is released. The gospel is not just information that gives you knowledge. It is power that transforms. It is power that changes you from the inside out. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he has become a new creation. That is a miracle. It is the miracle of the power of the gospel, that this minute I can be in darkness, and by saying yes to Jesus, I am transferred into light. That is what happened with that thief on the cross. The same minute, he said, oh, remember me in your paradise. And Jesus said, today, not tomorrow, today, today, today you are with me in paradise. And I speak to someone here tonight. Maybe you don't believe. If you believe, today you will also be transformed into that new kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The gospel carries divine authority. It brings healing. It brings transformation. It's not just a message. It is the full revelation of the person and the character of God in action. Hallelujah. The gospel doesn't just inform, it transforms. Like we said earlier, it's not advice. It is power to live anew. Amen. Now I'm hoping that all of the things we have said, the grace of God, the love of God, the light that this gospel brings, the wisdom of God and the power that it exudes is able to bear confidence in you, such that you're going to step out in London today, tomorrow, during the week, throughout the month, all through your life, and declare boldly the power of God, because the gospel cannot be stopped. Amen. It is God's desire that you and I colonize our sphere, that we transfer the realities of heaven into the earth with this powerful tool called the gospel. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let's pray. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to make a declaration. We're going to make a declaration. So 1, 2, 3, go. Let's start. I have a weapon. Go ahead. It is full of grace. It was birthed by love. It is full of wisdom. It illuminates. It is powerful. It is called the gospel. I believe the gospel. I will live by the gospel. I share the gospel. Glory! Hallelujah. Come on, let's do it one more time. I have a weapon. It is full of grace. It was bettered by love. It is full of wisdom. It illuminates. It is powerful. It is called the gospel. I believe the gospel. I live by the gospel. I share the gospel. Glory! Hallelujah!